Good evening, folks, and welcome to the first of our Easter Holy Week services. Over the next three evenings and on Easter Sunday, we're going to be thinking about the theme, With Easter Comes Hope. Tomorrow evening, Charlie's going to lead us through the passage in Hosea chapters 5 and 6, and then on Good Friday, Michael will lead us through Galatians chapter 3. Where we'll join together for communion. We're really excited because this will be our first service of the year back in the building together. But just a reminder that due to the restrictions, we will need to know who will be joining us there. So you can sign up on the church website, you can email hello@railwaystreet.org, or you can just contact your local elder. But it would be really helpful for us if we knew who was joining with us. If you are going to be joining at home and would like to join in communion, you can still do that by contacting your elder and they will get a communion pack out to you as soon as possible. But make sure you give them plenty of time because it is soon. And then on Sunday morning, we're going to be joining together again in the church building as a family to finish our Easter theme of With Easter Comes Hope. As we come to worship this evening, let's ready our hearts and our minds and reaffirm some of the truths that we believe in, some of the hopes that we trust in. The first question of the Heidelberg Catechism maybe isn't well known to you, but it's such a reassuring text. And the first question in it is, what is your only comfort in life and death? And here's the answer that it gives us, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. What comfort and what reassurance as we join together to worship God. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, we come to you this Easter and we realize and we know the fragility and weakness of humanity, of our world and of our lives. We realize that sometimes hope is hard to hold. Hope in you is hard to hold, and it can be easy to hope in other things, in lesser things, in temporary things. Here in this world, we have countless blessings that come from you, and yet they pale in comparison to what we have in store in eternity. Where we may have the sun to light in up the dark around us now, and to keep us warm now, in eternity, we look forward to the day when you will be our light and our comfort, where there will be no more night or darkness because you provide eternal light for your people. Here in this world, our natural desires are corrupt, they're misguided. Our hope is often found in lesser things, but at Easter, we celebrate your mercy to destroy them and your grace that leads to hope in something greater, something eternal, something that your victory at Easter has won for us. Here we have many temporary comforts, yet there in your kingdom we will have joy without sorrow, comfort without suffering, love without inconsistency, rest without weariness. And we look forward to a kingdom of all love, all peace, and all joy. This Easter we are reminded of hope. With Easter comes hope. And we ask that you would make that hope real to us. In our lives, where there is despair, fill us with hope. Where there is sorrow, replace it with joy. Where there is hate, replace it with love. Where there is pride, replace it with humility. Where there is anger, fill us with grace. And where there is fear, fill us with peace. This Easter, grant us more and more of the resurrection life. May it rule us. May we walk in its power and be strengthened through its influence. With Easter comes hope. We ask that you would make that hope a reality to us. Speak to us this evening through your word. Amen. Folks, we're going to join together to sing now. We're going to sing two songs, Hallelujah, My Father, and He Became Sin, Jesus, Messiah. Thank you. We're reading tonight from Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. This is what it says. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin. The foreigner's stronghold, a city no more, it will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you, cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall and like a heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners. As heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wines, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, but Moab will be trampled in their land as straw is trampled down in the manure. They will stretch out their hands in it as swimmers stretch out their hands to swim. God will bring down their pride despite the cleverness of their hands. He will bring down your high fortified walls and lay them low. He will bring them down to the ground, to the very dust. Amen. Let's just pray really quickly before we begin. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you still speak to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us afresh today. Amen. Folks, I wonder what you're hoping for. As we said, these few Holy Week reflection services and our Easter Sunday service are based on this theme of with Easter comes hope. So what are you hoping for this Easter? I should mention that because of the restrictions, we are recording this a week before when you're listening to it. But as of right now, the news says we have a lot to be hopeful for. Right now, the news coming in is that transmission and infection rates are down, hospital admissions are decreasing, schools are going back, shops are opening up. The news around us is that with Easter comes hope. With this Easter comes the hope that things are going back to normal. With Easter comes the hope that we're going to be able to do all those things that we're missing, all those things that we once could do. And what does that hope mean for you, maybe? You're hoping that soon you'll be able to have a meal with someone indoors. Maybe for you, you're hoping that soon you'll be able to get up from the kitchen table and be back in the office. Maybe for you, like me, you're hoping that the hairdressers will open soon because you just can't deal with another COVID cut. Maybe for you, you're hoping soon you'll get back to a restaurant, back to the cinema, back on a plane. With Easter comes the hope that all of those things are not that far away. All of those things will soon be possible. With Easter comes hope, the expectation that what we desire will soon be a reality. And what we hope in determines how we live. What we hope in affects our lives, doesn't it? What we hope in affects our attitudes, it affects our words, it affects our finances, our diaries, our family life. Because of my confident hopes that the hairdressers will be open before long, I'm not asking Rachel for another haircut. Maybe by the time you see this, I will have got one, but I'm hoping that they'll open soon enough. Because of your hope in the vaccine, maybe it's given you a bit more confidence to go out of the house. Because of your hope that you'll maybe get on a summer holiday, you've been online buying summer clothes. What we hope in determines how we live. This passage in Isaiah is a picture of what the Israelites could hope for. This evening, we don't have enough time to look at all of the questions the passage has or cover all of the details in it, but we're going to focus primarily on verses 6 to 8 and the hope that they give the Israelites, the hope that they give us as Christians. We're going to reflect on what our hope as a church and as Christians in our own lives is in. How does the Easter story, how does the Bible story bring you hope? And are we letting that hope affect how we live? What Isaiah gives in this passage is one angle of the picture of this final day of victory. He gives his readers a fantastic image of what they can hope for in the future and what they should base their hopes on. Verses 6 to 8 paint a fantastic picture of the hope that was in store for the Israelites and indeed for us today. You might have noticed that in these three verses, Isaiah uses the word all five times. He explains that the people were going to experience a feast for all peoples. He says that the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations, will be destroyed. He says that God will wipe away tears from all faces and that God's reproach would be taken away from all the earth. This picture, this image that he gives, shows us the fullness of what God was intending in salvation. This picture of the final day of victory would involve a feast for all people, and not just any feast. He tells us it's the best feast. It has the best meats, the finest wines. This shroud and sheet that are spoken of were grave clothes. The image involves God destroying the grave clothes that currently enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. The grave clothes that we have all been dressed in since the curse will be destroyed because we don't need them anymore, because death will be swallowed up forever. This image involves God removing his people's disgrace from all the world. It involves God comforting all people and bringing them back into his presence as his people, not disgraced, but covered in grace. And so Isaiah paints this picture of what's in store, of what we can place our hope in. And these things in this image are things that were achieved through the Easter story. These are things that happen through the cross and through the resurrection, through Christ's death and life-giving resurrection. Do we see Christ as decisively victorious over the powers of sin and death, victorious over the grave? As 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 56 say, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see this hope promised in Isaiah. We see this hope completed in Christ in the Easter story through the cross and the resurrection. And we see this hope one day awaiting us fully in Revelation chapter 21, possibly the most hope-filled verses in the Bible that share the same imagery as Isaiah 25. Just to read a few verses of it, it says this: then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among them, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And here's the imagery here. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Death has been swallowed up. The people's disgrace has been removed. God is comforting his people. We see hope promised in Isaiah. We see hope completed through Christ at the Easter story. We see this hope one day awaiting us fully in the New Jerusalem with Easter comes hope. Hope in a final victory over death, hope that we will one day be comforted by God, hope that there will be no more sorrow, hope that God will provide us with a feast, the best feast. With Easter comes hope. But how does that hope actually affect how we live? How does that hope actually affect our lives this Easter? C.S. Lewis says this in his book, Mere Christianity. Hope is one of those theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. With Easter comes hope, but for us, is that hope merely, as C.S. Lewis says, wishful thinking or escapism? Is it something that we talk about in those hard times? Is it something that we pull out whenever we need to comfort someone who's mourning? Is it something that we bring out whenever someone phones us in the pain of loneliness? Is it something we take out whenever we hear someone close to us is in hospital? Or is it something that we are ever focused on? Is it something that flows into every area of our lives, affecting how we live, determining how we live? Is it something that affects our spending, both of money and time? Is it something that affects our attitudes towards social problems in our world? Poverty, racism, abortion, injustice, war. Is it something that affects our everyday thinking? We see hope promised in Isaiah. We see hope completed in Christ in the Easter story. We see this hope one day waiting for us fully in the New Jerusalem. With Easter comes hope, and the challenge is that hope determining how we are living? As N.T. Wright puts it in his new Lent book, he says, "We, the church, are an Easter people. And hallelujah is our song, even in the COVID ward, even at the graveside, even when under ecological threat, or dazed by the massive lies with which powerful politicians deceive millions. Hallelujah is our song, because with Easter comes hope. Hope that death is defeated and a better world awaits us." Or maybe your Easter song is the one that we're going to sing in just a minute, the New Getty song we've sang a few times recently. Your song can be, "Unto the grave, what shall we sing? Christ, he lives, Christ, he lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him." With Easter comes hope. As Easter people, hallelujah is our song. But is that hope affecting how we live? Is that hope determining how we live? Are we singing that hallelujah song? "Unto the grave, what shall we sing? Christ, he lives, Christ, he lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord, and sin and death will be destroyed. And we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore." Let's pray. Lord, we are an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. The hope that you give us through Easter is so comforting, so reassuring, so exciting, so joy-giving. May it be ever on our lips, not just throughout Easter, but throughout the whole year. We pray that you would make that hope a reality for us. When it seems dim, make it clear. When it seems far away, bring it close. Make that Easter hope our guide for living, our guide for grieving, our guide for spending, our guide for evangelism, our guide for our work lives and our family life. Help us to live in confident hope of what you have in store for us. We pray that you would help us. We pray that you'd help that hope flow from our lives and into the lives of others. Amen. going to join together to sing our last song now, one that we just read some verses from, that song that speaks about where our hope is, Christ, our hope in life and death. Thanks to the band and all those involved at the back. Don't forget to join us tomorrow evening. We're looking forward to Charlie opening up Hosea for us and discovering once again how Easter brings hope. Let me just leave you with two verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Amen.